You're listening to Confidence on the Go, your go-to podcast for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action in your pursuit of living life to the fullest. I'm your host, confidence coach and personal trainer, Trish Blackwell, and it's my absolute honor and pleasure to spend some time with you each week to celebrate this beautiful thing called life. What's up, guys? This is Trish Blackwell, and you're listening to the Confidence Podcast. We are a worldwide online community of people who are go-getters. We like to call ourselves the Be Morers. We are in the Be More movement, which really just means that we are, just eager to grow, enthusiastic to love life, and really, really motivated to be the best version of ourselves, to be more just by a little bit, that we are not obsessed with perfectionism, but to being our best self, to progress 1% of 1% each and every day, baby stepping our way to greatness and success and deep impact in this world that matters, not to mention happiness, confidence, and courage. So if you're new to the show, I do want to give you a warm welcome. I'm so glad you're here. This is it's a show that we publish every Tuesday. It's the highlight of my week. I absolutely love connecting with you here on the podcast airwaves and would love to connect with you more and find out more about what fires you up. What are you focused on in life right now, and how can I best serve you? So, if there's ever a topic that you would really love to be covered, shoot me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com, or go to my website. You can leave me a voicemail there. I'd love hearing your voice. And that way, I can really customize some of my coaching that I put out here to really serve you guys well. Well, that all said, if you're a returning listener, you know I like to give you a little heads up of what we're going to anticipate in the show, and then we dive deep into the coaching. We always finish the show with a listener of the episode, which is exactly what we're going to do today in episode number 264. We are talking about, something so, so good. We're talking about food. And y'all, this is an episode that has been needed. It's so interesting because I started my whole business because I had a messed up relationship with food and with my body. You know, on the outside, I was one of the most confident people you might have ever met. And secretly on the inside, I was crumbling, right? And so in today's episode, we're going to talk about three revolutionary ways to have a better relationship with food. More specifically, we're going to talk about our relationship with food, how to analyze it and improve it. We're going to talk about the moralization of food and finding freedom from past toxic behaviors. And then I'm going to share with you four revolutionary ways to have a better relationship with food. Now, it's pretty cool that we're talking about food. And the reason we're talking about food in particular today is because I'm actually getting ready. I mean, let's see, we're 5 days out from flying to France with my family. It's really, really cool. We are going to the place where my life changed. We're going to where my whole relationship with food was challenged and changed. And I learned for the first time to think differently. And those are, so I've spent 10 years really, really digging deep into helping not only myself, but others find a better way to have a relationship with food and with their body. And, I'm actually going, you guys may or may not know, my very first book that I wrote, not my most recent book, Insecurity Detox, but my first one is called The Skinny Sexy Mind, The Ultimate French Secret. And so one of the things that I'm doing out in France in the next 2 weeks is more research. I can't wait to go back with fresh eyes, with 10 years of maturity, of a whole different level of my relationship with food and my body, and go back to the same places where my life changed. And, you know, we're going to be revamping that whole book and rewriting it. You're going to see some really cool stuff coming out of this in the near future. But here's a little teaser. Here's a little description about kind of what I'm writing about. And again, this is all in the works, right? But I like to share with you guys. You guys are sort of like my VIPs. Like, you are my community. So you get a sneak peek. My life changed around a round bistro table in southern France. The eating disorder I was trying to escape suddenly seemed far away. For the first time in 10 years, my thoughts were calm, rational, real. I was liberated, however temporarily, and I knew it wouldn't last. The demands of perfectionism and control and fear were coming to hijack my mind. But in this moment, I had peace. It was a borrowed peace emanating from the easy confidence of the French women strolling through my line of sight. This is a story I have to tell. I know there are women and girls out there suffering like I did, like I still do, which is why the story isn't a magic cure. It's a battle cry of hope. It's a window into a world where food and beauty aren't enemies. It's a world where perfectionism isn't mistaken for worth, where achievements aren't the measuring stick for value. It's a world I didn't know existed until I was part of it. And when I moved to France in 2005, I learned a new way of thinking, a new way of being. It was so counter to everything I'd ever been taught in the bathroom stalls of my boarding school that at first I couldn't believe it. But when my self-worth began to grow back and my health returned, I knew I had stumbled onto a secret way of living, a French way of life. So, you guys, I can't express to you how excited I am to dive deeper, how I'm going to share with you guys. I'm going to be researching and interviewing people on this adventure of confidence that women in France, explore, and the art of confidence that isn't found in makeup or clothes or this perfect body weight on a scale, but in knowing oneself. And so that is why food's on my mind and relationship with food. And I just want to encourage you guys. I felt like I was so far gone down the rabbit hole of eating disorders and perfectionism and never feeling I would ever measure up or be enough. And I'm telling you, if I could find a way to rewire my relationship with food and with my body, I know that you can too. And so these are revolutionaries we're going to talk about today, stemming from my initial research in France. And then obviously I will definitely do a follow-up episode, or you'll be hearing some Facebook Lives on this for all the cool stuff I'm going to be coming up with. And so you don't want to be missing any of my Facebook Lives that are coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks, because I'll be doing them from France and probably some pretty cool places around some pretty amazing and beautiful food. That's stuff that I used to be afraid to eat, but now I can eat with confidence and joy and total pleasure. And so if you're not connected with me on Facebook yet, go to facebook.com/ Trish Blackwell Fitness. And as I was reading that to you guys, I realized 2005, oh my gosh, it's actually been 13 years since I was at that cafe table where my whole life turned around and the way I thought about body and confidence and food and weight and beauty changed forever. So let's dive in. But as always, I got to do a quick announcement as a quick hello to all my Keep the Faith listeners out there. You guys, thanks for being a part of this extended community of contagious encouragement. And I'm really proud to bring you this podcast in part thanks to my partnership with Beauty Counter. Beauty Counter is more than just a company I believe in. It is the only company I trust fully for myself and my family. It has brought a new level of health to my household, reduced our toxic exposure, and increased my self-care routine and how beautiful and clean my skin is. I can honestly say that I feel more beautifully me thanks to Beauty Counter. Oh, and what's also amazing is that we're more than just a Beauty Counter. We're than a beauty company. We are a movement. We are on a mission to get safer products in the hands of everyone. And so we work towards cleaner beauty because it's important, and it's as important as what we eat and how we exercise. You can shop for your own Beauty Counter collection at beautycounter.com/ Trish Blackwell. And just so you know, anything you order from Beauty Counter has a 60-day money-back guarantee. We want to make sure you are absolutely in love with it and that you have an incredibly beautiful experience. And I'm here to customize your experience. If you go, I don't know what to get, Trish, shoot me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com. I will be your personal concierge for Beauty Counter. So, okay, so again, let's start diving in as we prep for this big trip I have going to France. And let's talk about whether or not it's a good idea to take a 3-year-old and an infant on a plane for 10 hours. I mean, we'll see, right? We debated this. My husband Brandon and I debated back and forth for quite a while about, is this worth the effort? And you know what? Adventure, we decide that adventure is always worth the effort. And we may show up exhausted and just exasperated and without patience and sleep, but we'll be fine. It's definitely going to be worth it. Or we might have God willing, an easy peasy, beautiful, sleep-filled travel. So you just never know. I do know that travel and taking chances are always a story. There's always a payoff. And I'm pretty excited we get to expose the kids to French and to visit some old friends, attend a proper French wedding. And as I was telling you guys, France is ground zero for my true start of a beautiful life, of living, really living like I had control over my life. And so it only makes sense that I go back and reinvestigate what opened my eyes to realizing that food wasn't the enemy. It was my approach to food that had caused me so much pain, struggle, and turmoil. It was in France that for the first time I realized that food wasn't this thing I had to fight against, but that I could have a relationship with and that it could be a beautiful one. So my first thing I wanted to dive in today on today's content and coaching is, what is your relationship with food? And you know, you can't know how to make something better unless you know where it's at. And so I know we often live such filled days, and we are kind of an automated behaviors around our food and daily habits. So it's easy to not even know whether or not you have a good relationship with food. So here are a couple questions to help you assess your current relationship with food. Do you think about food more than you think you should? Do you have restrictions around food that cause you stress? Do you ever feel anxious about whether or not you should eat, you will eat the right portions, or if you can eat the right portions? Do you ever feel guilty after eating? Do you worry about your calorie intake? Do you categorize some foods as bad? And then do you feel at ease around food, let me reframe that. Do you feel uncomfortable around food and not sure if you can trust yourself with your choices? And so if your answer to any of those was yes, chances are you don't have, you haven't yet created, cultivated a beautiful relationship with food. So that's a good place to start. You know that you want to improve. Just like any relationship, it takes work and it takes intention and mindfulness and little daily things that you do to invest in your awareness and invest in improving that relationship. So here are a couple little ways that you can improve your relationship. These are little steps that I've taken, that I've coached a lot of clients through taking. And the first is knowing where you're at, which hopefully you've assessed, like, are you in a good place with food or not? And then secondly, it's these: let go of guilt. Forgive yourself for the choices that didn't serve you. So if you made a bad choice, like the guilt and shame that you're going to beat yourself up with, that really doesn't take you any further or drive you in the direction, it doesn't serve you well. So let go of that. Let go of the guilt. Forgive yourself. Always look for ways to learn about yourself. Explore and be curious. Another great way to improve your relationship with food is to understand where your food comes from. Another thing that I've done that has helped me slow down. I really struggled with eating quickly and eating mindlessly and sort of in a sort of like this out of body experience, right? Was slowing down. In order for me to slow down with food, I had to pray over my food, and that also gave me this ability to be thankful. Not just for the food itself and the provision that was provided, but for the each hand, each step of the process of how many people it took to get that food in front of me, to be thankful for those people in that process. And that helped me slow down and feel more connected to the source of my food, which then gave me, again, it's redefining and reestablishing the relationship of how I see my interaction, my body and food and what I interact with. Another couple ways are having gratitude for the abundance of food that you have accessible, letting go of the vicious all or nothing cycle. I am not a fan of diets. I don't believe in them. I believe in eating clean. I know that sometimes you need to tighten up your eating and being more mindful than others. But there's this all or nothing and this categorization of some food being good and some food being bad, you should feel bad for eating something. Really, just all that does is perpetuate a binge or emotional eating cycle of shame. So letting go of this all or nothing, we don't have to live in this world of black and white. There is such a thing as gray, where bread is okay, right? It's okay to eat bread sometimes. That's what I'm talking about, the all or nothing. It's not necessary to have things that are completely inaccessible for you that you're not allowed to eat. Give yourself permission to enjoy your food. Like, there is something to be said for pleasure, that we have been given the opportunity and the gift of being able to taste food, and food is beautiful. So if you could start saying that it's okay to actually enjoy your food, you'd be amazed at what it does to kind of restructure your relationship with food, that you, when you feel that pleasure, you can actually indulge in it and enjoy it and pay attention to it. And it then is prolonged. And you know, since you're not all or nothing, you're not going in extremes and making things off limits, you know that, wow, that food is really enjoyable for me. And I have permission to enjoy it tomorrow. So I can eat then in moderation, because I don't think that this is my last dinner or my last cookie that I'm ever going to have in the next 5 weeks because I'm going on that extreme diet, right? There's this permission to self to have something of just pleasure, that would serve you as self-care and still allow you to be a healthy and clean, you know, ideal version of yourself. Another thing that has been, was crazily, you know, so interestingly, that seems obvious, very helpful for me as I reestablished my relationship with food was eating around other people. Because you see, when you have a bad relationship with food, there's a lot of hiding, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of emotional eating, there's a lot of eating that happens in your car or in your bedroom or in the dark or after everybody else goes to bed. So just saying, hey, food is connection. It's connection with myself. It's honoring that I need to be recharged and refilled. And it's connection with other people. Another thing is just like we've already mentioned, the slowing down when you eat, just minimizing your distractions, learning to pay attention to your food and notice the color, the texture, making it a process, making it something that you're exploring, just like you would in any relationship when you date somebody. You pay attention to the details. You want to spend time around them. You want to be not always just, you want to pay attention and learn who they are, what they stand for, what they provide, and how you feel around them. And you can do the same thing with food. And then finally, like I said, stop categorizing some food as good food, some food as bad. There's no morality to food. And that was a really freeing thing for me because I grew up wanting to say, this is good, this is bad. And therefore, when I eat really well, I'm good, right? And if I eat bad, I'm bad. Like, it's crazy that that's where my mind would go. But I know that that's a pretty common mental trip up that a lot of people fall into. And, you know, so it's easy to say, how do you actually stop moralizing food? But it's really this concept of all or nothingness, so that it gets you nowhere, that trendy diets are dangerous. And so when you hear somebody going on a diet or saying they've got this great quick fix, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, you guys, it is. I think we make weight loss and balance with the food and a relationship with food a lot more complicated than it needs to be. For really finding your ideal body weight in this like a happy relationship with food is eat more water, move your body more, eat consistently every few hours to fuel your body, eat in moderation, and sleep more. So 80% of your physical results of how you look come from your nutrition, but a lot of your nutrition is also your food decisions are made based off of how hydrated you are or not, or how fatigued or stressed you are. So there's so many other factors rather than, okay, make a good food choice. You don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect in your food choices. Instead, you can focus on general and overall self-care and mindfulness and restfulness and recharging and sleep and hydration and movement, and you feel better. And as you feel better, you honor yourself with better food choices and better indulgences. And you know, you learn how to trust your body and your sensories and you'll know when you're full and when you're not, when you need more and when you don't. And so that would be a great way to really stop moralizing food, to start that process. Again, this is all a process of baby steps. And remember that all food serves us in some way. It's okay to take comfort in food. It's okay to celebrate with food. But it's not okay to numb yourself out with food, to use it as a drug or an avoidance. That's where where's that line where it becomes dangerous. And that's something for you to start paying attention to and figuring out for yourself of at what point is my eating good for pleasure and in balance? And at what point does it become addictive, sort of a escapist, numbing, or I feel sorry for myself pity party that then I feel guilty about later because then I ate too much and then I'm going to gain weight and then I feel bad. So, right. So like figure that's just an awareness thing. And the way you can be aware and move forward is to let go of the guilt that's associated with any decisions you make around food that, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten that extra muffin. Okay. So what? Right. I think sometimes you have to say to yourself, so what? You know, so we harp on ourselves so much, we beat ourselves up and then we punish ourselves or we feel guilty or we feel less than or inadequate or weak. And I think sometimes you have to say, so what? It was a cookie. It was an extra half of a sandwich. Like there's a point where the anxiety and guilt causes more stress that leads to more negative self-sabotaging decisions that it doesn't serve you. So let go of guilt, be kind to yourself and don't expect perfection. We are works in progress, not creatures of perfection, and nor do we need to be. And so again, just like any relationship, there are going to be good days and bad days, good decisions and bad decisions. And that's the beautiful thing about this being sort of a relationship is this living, you know, viable organism, right? Like It's alive. And so you, and I really believe that the more you invest in a relationship, the more you will get out of it. So the more you invest in your relationship with food, the more you're going to get out of the vitality that you feel, how you source your energy naturally, being in tune to what foods feel best for you versus which ones don't, which, you know, we all have different food sensitivities, and, but also just seeing food as fuel, but also as food as a connector in life. And if you feel like you're in a good relationship with food, I'm telling you, there's a strong, strong, heavy correlation to that relationship that you feel in your body, right? It's when we feel out of control with food that we then feel out of control in our body. And then we start having some body confidence issues and we start, you know, slumping down, hiding from the world a little bit, not feeling as beautiful as we actually are. And so the beautiful thing is the more you invest in your relationship with food, the more you're actually investing in your physical confidence as you do. And you know, for me, I really wanted, you know, I promised you guys that we'd talk briefly about how to really find freedom and to move past toxic behaviors around food. And for the amount of years I've been studying this, it's been about 15 years of intentional study, I've realized that a lot of my toxic behavior around food or body or mindset was based always from a stress point. So when I was in a full controlled, like calorie counting, obsessive, like macro tracking state where I felt like I had control over food, there was still a stress factor of what happens if I let go of control. And you know, what's interesting is the more stressed we are, the more unhealthy any relationship is, the more unhealthy life is. Life is not meant, and we will have stressors in life, but life is not meant to be a big experience of stress from day to day. And you know, it's so interesting because we can put all this pressure on ourselves to eat perfectly, and you're kind of, there's this subcurrent of stress that goes on while that's happening. Well, interestingly enough, you guys know this, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it truly is true that the more stress you have, the higher cortisone levels will be. The higher your cortisone levels are, the lower your metabolism drives, because your body goes into a little bit of fight or flight state. And then you are actually then retaining, holding on to fat in a storage mode. And then you put more stress on yourself because you're disappointed that the control mechanisms and all this effort and this perfection you're trying to execute in your physicality and in exercising and eating and having everything controlled so you can get this perfect body that you want, well, you're not getting it because you're stressed out. And then, I don't know if you knew this, but the amount that you sleep also has an effect on your metabolism. So, you know, there's so much stress and pressure we put on ourselves around food as this perfect solution. And while food does give us an insight to how our bodies will look, it's not the whole picture. There's a lot of factors that contribute. In fact, you getting less sleep than is ideal can affect your metabolism by 15 to 20%. Because that's up to 400 calories of a natural caloric burn just because you're living on sleep deprivation. So there is crazy intense calorie burning that goes on and really important things in your digestion and in your reset of your systems that happens while you sleep and you recover. And so the amount of pressure that you put on yourself to have perfect nutrition or perfect food really can be detrimental. So it's so, you know, for me, it's this really freeing concept that I didn't realize, because I just wanted to have a solution and be perfect and figure it out. And then there was a lot of stress around, well, can I maintain this? And what if I always struggle with this? Or what if I'm always have to make these decisions in life? And when you just remove the stress and go, it's all good. Enjoy food, enjoy life, trust your body, learn a little bit more about yourself every day, learn a little bit more about what foods feel good, which ones feel bad. Wait, all of a sudden, life feels more beautiful. The stress that you feel and you put around this pressure of this, like, I don't know what this is going to do to me, all that when that releases, your body goes to a different state and a higher state of performance. It literally affects your metabolism. So then you then eat normal, you live stress-free, you sleep more, and then you're burning more calories at a higher rate naturally. So then you lose weight and you feel at this ideal body weight. It's crazy magic, like, but there's science behind it. And so it really, and we, you know, I can recommend that you go check out Integrative Nutrition. Precision Nutrition has a fantastic website on this. If you want to find out a little bit more, I'm not going to waste our time in our sort of emotional conversation around food talking about the science behind it. But you guys, it's to break free from toxic behaviors. I think you have to realize that a toxic behavior is stressful. And that if you can look at the stresses in your life and say, I choose not to live in a state of stress, everything will shift, as will your relationship with food. So let's go ahead and, as promised, talk about four revolutionary ways to have, three revolutionary ways to have a better relationship with food. So number one, I'll read them to you and then we'll go a little bit in depth. Number one, be willing to believe that you can start over. Number two, be willing to believe that it can be a beautiful relationship. And then number three, be willing to believe that your body is trustworthy and beautiful. So let's dive into the first one here. Be willing to believe that you can start over. So for me, I thought, man, I'm so messed up, right? Like, I was too far gone. Like, I had been trying to control food since I was 11 years old. And I thought that my mind was stuck. Like, there were certain things and behaviors I couldn't break because that's just what it was. I would forever never be able to eat donuts because I want five, not one, right? Especially Krispy Kreme. So those just like disappear in your mouth the minute you put them in your mouth. So, you know, I thought that, that's awesome that other people can do that. But I thought it wasn't like other people could change, but I couldn't. So in order for me to really rebuild my life around food, my and find freedom and healing from this perfectionistic pressure I put on myself, and to have a healthy, happy, stress-free relationship, I had to be willing that I could start over. So in order to do that, there are a couple things you can do. These are things that I've done. These are things I've walked my clients through as well. But you have to let go of old rules, old behaviors, old beliefs, and be open to exploration. Be open to change. Be open to saying, I feel like I've always been this way, but I want to choose to believe that maybe I don't have to be this way. Also, you have to let go of a little of your previously perceived control, right? Take the risk. That was one of the hardest things for me, of feeling like I've always felt, even though I was out of control around food and out of control of my body and felt like my life was spinning out of control, I had this false sense of control, thinking that I was, you know, in control of food, but it really wasn't. So letting go of that and saying, hey, that and saying that hasn't worked for me, I'm going to let go and take a chance to approach it differently. That's terrifying because you feel like you're letting go of the steering wheel, but really you're not. You've never had the steering wheel because, you know, but there's I want you to know there's a risk element that you're going to feel a little bit of anxiety around that. I also need you to know that you have the ability to change. And, you know, you've probably made food or weight loss harder than it needs to be. That was one of the most disappointing things for me. Like, when I realized that I've just made this way, way harder than it needs to be, that it can be a lot more simple, a lot more stress-free, and that I don't have to overthink and overpressure, and it doesn't have to be so controlled and manipulated and everything weighed or measured. Like, wow, there's so much freedom in that, right? And then the other thing is you have to be open to learning about yourself and about what works for you and your body. So part of the process of starting over is trying new foods. This may seem really trivial to you, but like for me saying, I had told myself for years, oh, I don't like pasta. I don't eat pasta. I don't like pasta. Now, part of that's true. I really don't like some pasta. Like spaghetti, couldn't be bothered. Lasagna, really can't be bothered. But you know what I like? I like bow tie noodles. I didn't know that. Like, I had told myself, I don't like noodles, I don't like pasta, because to me, carbs were bad. How much easier was it for me to just say, I never have the opportunity to eat it because I just don't like it? And so I had to be open to saying, you know what, maybe I do like that. And so now I like some gluten-free bow tie noodles and I mix it in with spaghetti squash and it's awesome. And that is just like, it's really cool to go, I'm honoring my body and it's cool to learn more things about it. So like part of that's a small micro example of how to be open to learning about what foods you like, which ones you don't like, which ones work for you, or which ones work for your body. I had told myself for years, I don't eat potatoes. I don't like potatoes. Now that's, again, like pasta, partially true. I really hate potatoes. Like, I don't like French fries, really can't be bothered. Potatoes, like baked potatoes or mashed potatoes. Like, I mean, you kind of have to, like, you could pay me to eat it. But like, I really wouldn't even enjoy it. Like, I'd rather eat bags of Brussels sprouts. Now, sweet potato fries all day, right? Or like, and you know, I've always said I hate potato chips. Now, I'm not promoting eating potato chips, but every now and then when my husband's eating some potato chips, I'll take a few and I go, this is pretty enjoyable. I'm like, glad I had this little like experience. So it's, again, I guess the starting over is restructuring what you say of, what you like, what you don't like. Because to be honest, if you have an unhealthy relationship with food, there's a chance that you don't even know what most things taste like because you've gotten so much control and you've dictated so much of what you think you should think about something around that versus around allowing yourself to experience the taste, see how something makes your body feel. You know, I also, during that time when I was resetting around food, like you guys, I used to drink so much Diet Coke. It was just laughable. I mean, 6-pack a day. Well, now I do like club sodas. Like I like, you know, carbonated water, but not, I don't like carbonated, like flavored water. A little bit of carbonation really satisfies me, but too much, like a Diet Coke, I will be bloated all day. Like, so I maybe drank one Diet Coke. Last time I had one was maybe 7 months ago. I mean, maybe, I'm sure when I go to France, I'll have one because I love that European taste. But like, again, it's like I'll drink half and I feel the, like I can feel the body gets offset. I know what the chemicals taste like. Again, am I promoting drinking chemicals and diet stuff? No, but everything in moderation is okay. But what's interesting is that before noticing and before believing I'd start over and honoring my body, I would just down it because it filled me and it had zero calories. Whereas now I can drink like a couple of sips and I'm like, you know, this just doesn't feel good in my body. And I don't like the way it makes me feel afterwards. So now I don't drink that. Every now and then it's like, you know, whatever. It's like a couple potato chips, a couple sips of a soda. That's all okay. But I only got to that point because I was willing to believe that I could start over and I had to start learning and paying attention, sort of like a child. Like I'm watching Baker now, you know, he's in his high chair exploring foods for the first time. And it's pretty freaking funny because he like eats it and then he looks at it. And he processes it as he's chomping on the taste. And you know, I was thinking about that as I was feeding him the other day and going, how cool to explore your taste without judgment. So that's what I would encourage you to do. Second thing, be willing to believe that it can be a beautiful relationship. You and food, or you and your body, won't always be a struggle. You've got to believe that that is a statement that can be true for you and that you are not a victim to deprivation and won't be for your whole life. You've got to believe that you can enjoy good things in life and that I really think that you've got to believe and make a decision to say, I can learn to connect more intimately with others around over food. So before I really reestablished my relationship with food was sort of this, I don't know, this thing I did in secret, or I had anxiety when I was around other people because I thought they were judging me on what I was eating or what I wasn't. And now food is this, like, it's like sometimes I don't, like, I have a couple favorite restaurants or a favorite sandwich, but I don't want it unless Brandon's there to share it with me. I want experience shared. I want to taste and share. I want, like, you know, it's like, so that is, it has been this a whole opening of a different perspective on food. So be willing to see that it can be a beautiful relationship. And I think it's key to say, I may feel stressed about this now, but I can believe that I won't be stressed about this forever. I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to be aware. It's going to be part of my daily decision. And there are going to be times when it's going to be easier and harder for me to make good decisions or pay attention to what my true needs are, what my intuitive needs are to be fed because of stressors in life or other things or fatigue levels going on. But it's not always going to be a struggle, right? And that's something I had been told. I had been told growing up, as women, it's just food and body weight and weight loss and never being comfortable in your skin. It's always just something that, you know, it's just part of the plight of being a woman. And you guys, let's just call crap on that. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. Okay, so, and then finally, third revolutionary mindset that you can make a change to have a better relationship with food is to be willing to believe that your body is trustworthy and beautiful. And so that kind of piggybacks a little bit on what I was just saying of what a lot of the messaging I had heard as a teenager is, you know, it's hard to be a woman, like we always are going to struggle. And then here's the deal, like then we hit menopause and it gets worse. And then we have thyroid issues. It's sort of like this, like, wait, this predestined, like your body's like against you and out to make you feel awful and ugly and stuck. And you guys, like, how discouraging, right? And so in hearing that, I had learned to say, like, all right, I can't trust my body. And at the same time, because I was in a binge and purge cycle, I also didn't know if I would eat one Oreo or 15. So there was this lack of trust of, well, like, and this trust of like, okay, so then I was in full control and like I could get my body to where I wanted it, but then I didn't trust it to maintain it. I didn't know how to find homeostasis in this, finding this healthy body weight where I felt good. And now I've learned how to do that, but I learned how to, by learning to trust myself, that I can trust myself to say, I get to have a piece of cake today and I'm going to enjoy it fully and feel no guilt. And I'm not going to trust that my body's not going to go, well, let's add 15 pounds because she made a bad decision. Like, it's weird that we in our minds think that, but you guys, we do. And it's just ridiculous. And so then what happens? We feel guilt and shame, and that causes stress. And then it causes us that whole cycle of heightened cortisol and messed up metabolism. It's a self-sabotaging cycle that can be avoided if you simply go, hey, my body is this crazy, incredible, effective machine. I think it knows what it's doing. I think I can honor it. I think it knows also. For me, this rewriting of my relationship with food, I had to start realizing my body tells me things. Like, wait, that, like, you feel bloated after something? Maybe that's not a food that agrees well with your body. You know, I'm not saying you need to be gluten-free or vegan, but maybe there are certain gluten or dairy allergens that you have that in a minimal exposure you're okay with, but too much, you feel like crap, and then you make worse choices, because when you feel bad about yourself, you typically then self-soothe with something that makes you feel worse. So it was so interesting for me. Rewiring my relationship with food was learning to trust myself and say, Trish, like, you've made bad decisions in the past and you weren't trustworthy in the past, but you know, just like in a relationship, you build trust. So you don't fully trust yourself, but you trust yourself more than you did before. And that's a good thing. That's progress. And focus on that progress versus on where you used to betray yourself, right? And then I also started saying, wow, my body, what messages is my body giving to me? Noting, am I hungry? Am I not hungry? How do I pay attention to when I'm full or not? So trusting the messages your body sends you. And, you know, I will tell you, one of the things that revolutionized, now I have obviously been healed and in recovery from my eating disorder for about a decade now, but there are always going to be some remnants and little thoughts that come into your mind. And these are daily decisions I have to thrive in my relationship and keep investing in it. But I will tell you guys, the most amazing thing that transformed my mindset and my confidence around food and about my body was having children. Seeing just how incredible the human body is, the miracles that God does, knitting a child together, and then also giving birth, and then seeing this amazing human being, and then seeing this how my body just adapted and produces milk and then adapted back. And, you know, it was amazing. I mean, even if you think about it, like, the production, the average daily calorie burn from nursing is 500 calories a day. If you're nursing a baby full time, right? And then 7 days, 500 calories a day, 7 days, that is, 3,500 calories. So 3,500 calories is 1 pound a week of weight loss. It's like God has pre-programmed weight loss into birthing. You know, some women, depending on your milk production, produce, burn even more calories than that. So up to 2 pounds a week that you're just by producing milk to feed your child, it's natural weight loss. And that, seeing this, all these things come together and the just the intricacies of life being created through my body, I have never appreciated and trusted my body more than since I've had children. And it was also for me, I was telling my husband, I said, one of the most healing, just a gift from God for me, was when, after I had my kids, and just learning to trust, and God gave me this ability to see myself differently, my body differently. And, you know, after I had Baker, I lost 25 pounds in, like, maybe by day 10. You know, I'd only gained, I think, 35 in the pregnancy. So I was within like a week and a half of giving birth, I was basically I typically do. Now, of course, I had some loose skin and some things that need to be tightened, but that was like, it was almost like God being like, oh yeah, are you so worried about your body? You guys, I need to tell you this. I so lacked trust in my body that I had convinced myself I didn't want children. Before I met my husband, I had told myself, no children for me. I'm just travel the world. I need to find somebody who doesn't want to have children. And then when Brandon and I started dating, I was a big point of contention because, quote, I can remember where he said this to me. We were at Bonefish on a date. Brandon said this, I want to have children more than a man underwater wants to breathe. My husband was programmed to be a dad. He has been yearning for a family. If I said yes, he would have 12 children. I think we're sticking to two, but you know, so we actually almost broke up because I was when, well, I didn't think I wanted children, and I had to dig deep, and I did. So I worked with a therapist, and we saw through some of the issues of what was it that was holding me back, and it was this actually a fear of like I don't trust my body. I was terrified of what might happen to in pregnancy, and I was more speechless about what would happen if I couldn't lose the weight after. And so I say that all to tell you guys, I had a lot of anxiety around that. And then I learned to trust. And then the body does amazing things. So be willing to believe that your body is trustworthy and beautiful. You can trust yourself and the messages of satiety that and desire, and that it's okay to crave something. It's okay to be hungry. And listen to it. Honor your body for what it's saying it wants. That you're not powerless. You know, another thing is to trust that your mind, the power and the strength of your mind, that you are of sound mind, that you are not, slave to the whims and whimmies of these emotions that make you want to hide your head in the sand or numb yourself you're not powerless to emotional eating or numbing. You're a sound mind. You can make decisions to break through and change your habits. You can learn to see food differently as this beautiful part of life, and you can start to enjoy your indulgences more, to find more balance naturally. You can see your body and beauty in your body and separate that from your weight or from food. So I think this willingness to re-see yourself, to look at yourself differently and trust that the human body is just magnificent and it does great things. So we've got to stop coddling it and start trusting it and giving it the tools it needs to succeed, which is listening to it, listening to yourself, and honoring that if you actually take care of all the full self, the sleep, the hydration, the stress levels, that your body will respond and you're going to feel more alive, more congruent, more beautiful, and more free from any kind of anxiety that circulates around you and food and decisions and your body weight. So I just want to encourage you again, here are the three mindsets. Be willing to believe that you can start over. Be willing to believe that it can be a beautiful relationship, and be willing to believe that your body is trustworthy and beautiful. And you guys, if you have struggled with that at all and you want some more support, I would just love to personally invite you to come and join us in the College of Confidence. It's my group coaching program where I really do work. We work in a group on a theme every month, but really more than anything, the point of the College of Confidence is that you get me in your corner. You get me in your pocket. Personally, anytime you need a pep talk, you post an about your situation. I give you the words that you need to think on. We talk about it. We get on a group coaching call. We are working together to say, I will triumph. I will reset my mind. I will thrive. I will live to my fullest and not let these old hiccups keep me from thriving and living to the fullest and seeing the beauty that is in me. Because if I can see the beauty that's in me and let it shine, then I'm not so distracted. And because it's when we're distracted that we aren't able to give our best to the world. We're not able to live out our purpose in the world because we're so self-distracted. And so my goal in the College of Confidence is to help you feel so confident, so courageous, so capable that you stop overthinking, that you find freedom, that you get unstuck, and then you go have courage to go pursue the things that really matter the most to you. So you guys can ask me if you have any questions about that, I'm always available to answer. Shoot me an email. My email address is trish@trishblackwell.com. And you can find out more, or just, man, if it feels right, just jump in and let's get connected. Let's get you enrolled. And I'd love to encourage you personally on your goals at trishblackwell.com/college. Now we're going to close out with our listener of the episode, and she wrote us an awesome email. So let me dive into that real quick. And you guys, I will say this is a little bit long, but it's worth sharing. So Cheryl, my friend, I hope you should let us know when your book comes out. And you guys, I love how many people in the Be More movement have said, you're right, God has put a story in my heart, and I'm going to write it. I'm going to share it. I'm going to spread light into this world. And girl, you're doing it. So here is what Cheryl said to me. Dear Trish Blackwell, what up? I'm beyond ecstatic to be part of the Be More community. I came across your podcast randomly and was drawn to it because of your commitment to encouraging listeners to live out their fullest potential on a weekly basis since 2013. Wow. 4 whole years of staying true to your vision. So Cheryl, I've been holding on to this email for a while, obviously, because now we're on year 5. This has lit a fire of inspiration under me to continue to follow my dreams. My When Life Works Best daily playlist of habits include tuning into one of your podcasts every day and then reflecting and applying that message to my everyday life. Girl, you don't know how much that means to me. Thank you. It is interesting how every single human out there is capable of so much, yet we get caught up and distracted by the struggle within. I call it the battle of insecurities. This battle is inevitable and is something we experience on a moment-to-moment basis. I've been a registered nurse for the past 5 years, and I've noticed many patients admitted have the diagnosis of anxiety and depression listed on their medical background list. I noticed a pattern where it's either put on the back burner because they have other diagnoses that appear to take priority, or if it is addressed, oftentimes the first line of treatment includes anti-anxiety or antidepressant medication like Avaton or Prozac. If there was a psych consult, the doctor would only visit one time throughout the hospital stay. Where is the follow-up in that? I think it's a band-aid effect where we're giving out temporary fixes and oftentimes are disregarding the patient's true mental health status. The sad reality is in the hospital is a business where patients end up putting money in the pharmaceutical company's pockets. Okay, don't get me wrong. I've seen some medications out there help people treat people's sicknesses, but what about the fact that all medications have an extensive list that of side effects that patients can suffer from? With my own two eyes, I've seen the addiction form and inner emotional problems take priority because of this band-aid effect. It has tugged at my heart throughout the years. I knew I had to take action when I lost my dad, and I felt like my heart had shattered into a million pieces. And it wasn't just my dad. My mom experienced losing many of her brothers and sisters in the span of 3 years. It was a domino effect of grief and suffering for my family. My brother and mom sought treatment and therapists, and they immediately prescribed medications to help alleviate the pain. Honestly, I'm so grateful that they never filled those prescriptions. They chose a more fulfilling way to heal. My brother has loved music since he was young, and he turned to music to cope. My mom put her heart into words through writing and her beautiful and hurt spirit into every stroke of the paintbrush. I myself have always found a true passion in exploring every facet of the arts, whether it be yoga, dance, writing, sketching, music, drama. I have felt a certain buoyancy and lightness from staying honest with myself and how I feel. There is freedom in self-expression. I had to put that in all caps and in bold letters to let that statement resonate on this page and in my life too. For that is my life mantra, my vision. There was freedom and self-expression. There's too much suffering in this world. And even as I write to you, someone's out there trying to figure out how to manage their pain. I avoid social media. And if I do use it, I limit my time because I think what people are really going through is not found on a highlight reel. I remember you had a podcast about this, and my heart would literally jump for joy because I knew that there's someone out there else that actually understood how I felt. Many people don't, and it's a false sense of reality. Well, I'm ready to focus my energies on making my dreams into reality. So I wanted to share my two main goals with you. Number one, become a certified expressive arts therapist. I'm currently pursuing a master's in counseling. I've had hurtful opinions out there for people saying that too much money goes into therapy, and a lot of people don't understand the path I'm trying to create. But not a lot of nurses have taken this path. So how do I handle it when I'm sensitive and it gets me in the way sometimes? How do I know which step to take forward after I finish school and help to build up my own private practice that combines nursing and art therapy? And I'm going to answer that question for you after I finish this. And then my second goal is to complete my very first book entitled Oh, Cheryl. Oh, Cheryl is a phrase that I've heard many times from friends and family, of which they would follow it up by shaking their heads and sighing. It was always directed at me when I did something silly. And pause. Cheryl, I want you to know, that's how my family would say, oh, Trisha. I kid you not. 100% have heard that. And that's what, when someone's living with such joy that people aren't sure what to do. So go, girl. I hope more people say, oh, Cheryl. The first half of the book will address very inspirations that got me lit, especially the art. And the second portion of the book will go into where the struggle is real, where I dissect and reveal recurring insecurities that I constantly struggle with. We gain insight from the very things that inspire us. So thank you for your dedicated practice into putting out inspiring podcasts. It inspires me, and I always hear you promoting a book or a new project, and would love if I could seek advice to you on how to create such concrete and specific steps I need to take to publish my first book. I write every day, but I feel like it's scattered there, here and there, and I'm not sure how to put it together into one project. Keep at it, Trish. Continue and inspire and be inspired. For you, a true artist in your craft. Positive juju your way, Cheryl, proud supporter of the Be More community and the Express Yourself mentality. And Cheryl, whew, woman, I had to read the whole thing because one, I want people to know your name. I want when your book comes out that you share it with us. You tell me when it goes out and we will share it because I want to celebrate the Be More community. Secondly, I absolutely love your heart. I think you're doing amazing things in the world. And I agree with you. I love that you put this all in bold. There is freedom in self-expression. I started finding freedom when I learned how to start self-expressing. And then I did want to answer a couple of your questions. As far as your journey to becoming a certified expressive arts therapist, you're going to, I need you to know that when you pursue your goals and dreams, you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have people that go, well, that's off the beaten path. That's not going to make sense. If you're hearing that feedback, that means you're doing something right. Anything that's polarizing means you're doing something bold, and that typically makes people go, what? It makes them question if what they're doing is enough. And so I need you to just trust your heart. And I 100% believe, I think every passion is able to be monetized, especially now with what we have at our fingertips with online. And so you absolutely can create something beautiful with a private practice that combines nursing and art therapy. I have no doubt about it. We actually have some amazing nurses in our College of Confidence. I have a girl, Donna, who is has created, I want you to check up nursing leadership. Check her site out and reach out to me and I'll give you her info, but some amazing stuff that you can do, but that takes your skill set, your craft, and then your vision and makes something beautiful. And I also wanted to say, I'm so sorry for all of your family's losses, but it sounds like your family is strong and resilient and, my gosh, so well guided of how they've processed the pain and been and taking their self-expression to honor the story of the people that they are loving and missing. And I think that is so beautiful. My final thing for you and anybody else out there that's working on their first book, just show up and write. I work with a lot of people one-on-one. So if you're interested in working in a coaching capacity, I work with a lot of authors on how to get your first book launched, how to set up, how to build a platform, how to get a book contract. What's the difference between self-publishing and traditional publishing? Which one's right for you? I would be so, so happy to work with you and coach you through that process. Just check out my coaching page on my website or send me an email, trish@trishblackwell.com, and I'll share some of what the costs of that are or what the best path might be for you. And we also have a lot of people who are writing books in the College of Confidence. So that's a great place to start in a community. If you are not sure where to go, you want some structure, that's another great place to go. But a couple things, show up and write every day. Start building a platform. Start collecting emails. And then just I keep going. And then I will help you with some other steps beyond that. And then you just say, whatever I'm going to do, this book, I'm going to get it out there. And then you activate your dream, and it's the most amazing feeling ever. So I hope you do that. Keep me posted. Any other writers out there in the Be More movement, let me know about your book projects. I would be so honored to help encourage you along the way or give you some strategy and some steps on how to launch it, get a book deal, get yourself promoted, build a brand around it, promote it, and then monetize it. So you guys, that all said, I hope that you are inspired today to change the way you think about food, to change the way you think about yourself and your beauty, what's possible for you. And hopefully, I'm pretty inspired thinking about Cheryl and what she's doing and how activating your dreams is a daily step. It's a choice. And there are other people, there are going to be a lot of people who don't understand it. And that's okay, because you are inspiring them along the way by saying, I don't know all the steps, but today my job is to figure out what's my next best step and go do that. So I love y'all. Hope you have an absolutely beautiful day. Go out there. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you love the show, let me know. Write a review in iTunes or send me an email at trish@trishblackwell.com. Take your confidence to a new level by downloading my free daily guide to confidence, The Confidence Roadmap. You can grab your free roadmap at trishblackwell.com/roadmap. And you know what? I'm thankful for you. Yes, you. So thanks for being you. Now go share the best of you with the world.